Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Swings at it, and it's the center. Right there is McCormick, and it's over. The Astros get a win 4-3. Their bullpen holds again.
It's a little weird to have the White Sox be on three different broadcasts in a weekend. And that Apple one, like, I want, Dan, I want it to be good because it looks so good.
I didn't get to see any of that. We were at
you
a
were
baseball
driving,
tournament.
Right? Yeah.
Well, we had a tournament in DeKalb. And let me just say, if I may, Sky Point to Fatties.
Oh, yeah.
In DeKalb.
Big time.
Because we were out there, and on this summer, this is like the last roundup for baseball with his buds playing for this 18U travel team. And we're probably going to get our ass kicked most of the summer, but it doesn't matter because it's so much fun. So every once in a while, he and I are just, we're going to get an inexpensive hotel room and make a night out of it. And boy, did we do Fatties up right. And they could not have been nicer. So Tim and Jeff and Joe and everybody there and getting to hang out with they had the DJ Ray, who's also the women's volleyball coach. And he was you know, spinning some tunes there as we're hanging out on the back patio, enjoying a little Cajun potato salad and wings. Thanks to the fine folks there. They're huge, huge, huge fans of the station. So here's hoping that we can get out there again.
I think that was probably my favorite, like, season of baseball was after graduation, 18U travel team. It was just like we had no responsibilities. Everyone was going their separate ways. And at the end of it, there was a finality to it. And it was just fun. You know, you've been playing with, in my case, I've been playing with guys for 2 or 3 years from moving out there.
Some of these guys were on his 9U team.
I mean, how great is that?
It's great.
It's such, like, it's a wonderful, you can, you know, you're driving yourself to some of these games now.
And you also run into some damn studs out.
Oh, yeah, you run into real dudes.
This pitcher we saw from St. Rita, ooh-wee. I think he's a Division III commit, but, I mean, every 85, bang, 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 wherever he wanted. And the only thing about getting it absolutely stuck up your hiney by a guy from St. Rita is you hear the whole thing in Farmio voice.
Of course you do.
So I was entertaining myself. It was like strike one, strike two, strike three. Strike one, tap into the mound, and then strike three, and then everybody's out. And I'm just like, well, then our guy hit a guy. And I go, well, he does that again. Next time, you're going to be looking at the sky. Cut it out. I mean it. Light it up.
Lawrence, it's good to see you. Why haven't I seen you at Mass? Well, I don't go to that church.
And he comes up the next time he's going to be looking at the sky.
And I barely go to church ever. That's why. I'm sorry, Farmio.
They're right, shaming you. He is shaming. He wants you to get right with God.
He's not wrong. He wasn't wrong in trying to get right with God. But yeah, like having the White Sox on three different broadcasts this weekend. And I truly, like, the Apple broadcast looks so good. It sounds good. They still haven't figured out, you know what they need? I've tried to fix it before and talked about it on the air. They need a real direction on what the broadcast is. I actually think that their parts aren't terrible, but they need to redeploy them. And Chris Young hasn't, like, analyzed the game. Like, I get that, like, they're going for a podcasty type feel, but if stuff is happening, and big stuff ended up happening, a huge inning for the Astros, why is it happening? Give me some of that. And they haven't been able to strike that balance. And I know it's going to take a while. Like this show, it's going to take a while, but And then Friday's crazy because Friday's the game where you go, oh, well, the White Sox maybe have a shot. Then Saturday's game is the game, oh, they got absolutely no shot. And then they destroyed Verlander with what I thought was an excellent approach. The idea of we're probably not going to overpower him and we're not going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. How about we just keep peppering the ball? It was as if the Tim Anderson approach had just kind of his spirit had just descended upon the rest of the White Sox, and they were able to string 5-6 hits together to score runs, which I really enjoyed.
Well, you can't get this far talking about that game without mentioning Johnny Cueto just being an old-time Jedi master.
His pitch mix, seeing a guy that has 5 different pitches and he's using them, like he is out there with guts and guile, sonic boom, and he is getting people out. I'm shocked that at this point, the book hasn't been written on how to get to him, and maybe we'll see it against Baltimore. Like maybe they'll be the ones that'll attack him earlier in counts and earlier in the game.
Guys are going to hit home runs. I think the key to him is just you've got to hit multiple run homers is how you beat him and getting guys on. If he doesn't walk anybody, if he's not giving up, you know, dinky, you know, gork shots here, opposite field stuff, because he's going to give up home runs. If he limits them to solo shots and stays in the game, if he gives up three solo homers in 5 innings, that's all you ask from him.
Seeing how valuable he has become to the White Sox rotation.
A little scary.
It's very scary.
5 quality starts in 7. 7 outings, 5 quality starts.
Isn't
that's
3,
Johnny Cueto.
3 of those are scoreless too,
it's
right?
Outstanding.
It's wild to me that after he had done his 3rd start, I had said that he's already paid for himself, and it's beyond that. So we should give the White Sox some credit in their scouting and having him available. There's still a lot of other problems with this team.
There's just like we were doing with the Cubs in the last segment, there is where we thought this whole thing was supposed to be and where it is. And reconciling the unfortunate difference between those things is that's what weighs on you every day, at least on me, knowing where this should have been and what this should have been. Still can be. But my confidence in it being that is being tested every day.
I didn't think that at this point in their process that what I'd be feeling with White Sox wins is relief. And that's kind of where I'm at with them, where there isn't a ton of joy. There are pockets of it. Like you see a guy like Cueto, for example, do really well. That's exciting to see. You see Jake Berger succeed. Like that's exciting to see. But in most cases, when I'm watching the White Sox, I'm relieved in games that they win. And I don't have any joy in it. And maybe the White Sox are doing that too. It's remarkable to me, and we'll see how they handle this. Until we find out what happens with Zach LaVine, and I suspect that he'll be back with the Bulls, the Bears are, and we know that now. The Cubs might be heading towards 100 losses. The White Sox get to be front and center. Dan, you and I have both had conversations with people very high up in that organization, and it has always been their want to be the center of attention in Chicago sports. Now you're it. Now you're that team. For your own reasons, for the expectations that people have of your team going into the season, for what your own general manager said about World Series expectations coming into the season, what's happened the last 2 seasons, the hiring of Tony La Russa, all of that stuff has put you front and center along with the other.
Don't yada yada the hiring of Tony La Russa.
Well, yes. I know that we're going to talk more specifically about that. I'm just saying that they now have that. Organizationally, it's something that they have fought for. Like the idea of when I was producing Murph and he would be measuring the columns,
Jerome.
They measure, you know, how much space is being taken up with the Cubs and the White Sox. The White Sox kind of do that. Like, organizationally, they kind of care about how much they're being talked about and why they're not being talked about enough.
Oh, that's in the DNA of the organization. And for better or for worse, it's part of it. It's part
100%. But now that we're in this place where all eyes are on you, Tupac, that you need to start living up to those expectations. And they can say, because there's still, 95 games left of them or whatever, they can still talk about it being early. But what bothered me in their talking about this season and their even putting forth the expectations of winning a World Series, which I'm glad that Rick Hahn said, but it's always felt like to me that they've done this in a vacuum, that they thought that their offseason was in a vacuum and that all that mattered was, well, we'll get some of this stuff right. And they didn't take into account other teams getting incrementally better. And they didn't take into account that it might be harder this year, that they weren't just going to be able to throw the jerseys out there. I feel a little bit of that.
Ask the 84 White Sox about that.
Well, there's a guy that you could ask. Think he remembers?
No. Well, I probably doesn't want to because there were some issues there. But that was the whole run it back. That was the idea. Get healthy, run it back. Now it's our turn. It's never your turn. It's never your turn. You have to make every year is precious. Every year you've got to make it your turn.
When you go back to the offseason, you and Layla and I were discussing this before the season started. Almost everyone that was paying attention to the White Sox looked at the White Sox and went, right field's still a problem. Rotation is probably a little light.
Second base
is bad. You probably need more help in the bullpen, but it's pretty good bullpen. That's another thing. I personally have tired of any team, but specifically the White Sox, talking about their strength being their bullpen because of how much a bullpen is like a living organism. And all it takes is one guy to have a bad year and one guy to be injured, and then you're screwed. And what the White Sox have run into is they've had multiple guys get injured. One guy in particular, Aaron Bummer, having a really bad year, it's situationally. And now you've got concerns about Liam Hendricks and whether or not his arm is going to be able to sustain for the rest of the season. And it makes me then look at, was the Kimbrel trade preemptive? Like, was this Rick trying to be like, he probably might need a closer at some point? And then he wouldn't play ball with having him pitch in the eighth inning. I would love to know. Like, those are the types of things where if I could give, is it sodium pentothal? Is that what you use for in the spy movies to get people to tell you the truth?
Sure, yeah.
If I could, I would love to ask Rick in a moment where he is under sodium pentothal, if he imagined this working out with Liam being the eighth inning guy and Kimbrel being the ninth inning guy, even though they had given the financial expenditure to Liam Hendricks. I would love to know what actually happened, because in my mind, like, I keep going back to, of what we know of Rick, I can't believe Rick wouldn't go to Tony and go, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking we make this move and we bring in Kimbrel. If I do this, and you know that Kimbrel's a little weird about the ninth inning, if I do this, can you manage it? And I imagine Tony said yes. But then at the end, that's the thing that bothers me. At the end, when we were all going, why didn't that work? That's weird that it didn't work.
We knew why it wouldn't, and we all said it at the time, that if this doesn't work, here is why. And part of it was just the fact that Kimbrel can't stay good. It's just too high. His delivery is too high maintenance. His whole being is too high maintenance right now. It's when it's good, you can't bottle it anymore.
When you brought up the idea of it's not your turn or your year, Mike Glennon, then you start looking at some of the things that are damaged within the White Sox. This Lucas Giolito thing is real, and it's not good. Fastball velocity is down. And we're seeing teams say, hey, your two changeups that you throw, we're just going to look for those now. Because your fastball isn't fast enough that it can get by us. You can also look at how deep he goes into games. And this is something that we are talking about, the management of the game. There's enough data that says, and then the Sox Machine guys did a great job of breaking this down over the weekend. There's enough data that says that once Lucas Giolito gets to 70 pitches, now, with what he's doing now, you should probably start getting someone up. And I know that that doesn't feel very good, but you should start thinking about it. But how many times in the last 2 weeks have you looked, or like, kind of reflexively to the bullpen of the White Sox and been like, why isn't there anyone up? Because this situation seems to be getting out of hand. And the manager has some old school things that I was hoping would by now have gone away. He's still thinking about bullpens the way that he used to think about bullpens.
My seventh inning guy, my eighth inning guy, my ninth inning guy, even though that high leverage game deciding moment is right in front of you in the fifth.
That's right. He still thinks of starters. Like the idea of, oh, it was his inning, and we're trying to get him a win. You guys aren't in a position where you should be trying to get guys wins. You're in a position.
I mean, is that really a question?
Yes, it's very much a question. You should be in the position of trying to get the White Sox wins.
All right, I want to take this in another direction when we come back, because there's an aspect to this, because I mentioned the whole La Russa hire and the way you started this, talking about the White Sox are getting what they want. They've always wanted to be front and center, the first team talked about in the consciousness of a Chicago sports fan. You got it right now. But I still have an issue with what it is now and what we thought it was going to be, what it was supposed to be. And this is why where a win is relief and there is a certain baseline level of discomfort with everything. Even while we're enjoying it and rooting for them and having fun and it's still your team and you can celebrate the good moments, there's still something that doesn't feel like it fits in my head. And I want to try to reconcile that a little bit when we come back. Bernstein and Holmes, welcome to it. You got the score.
On 1-2. Yep.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Go White Sox.
I mean, that's the sentiment is go White Sox, but it's hard. It's hard to, when you think about what this was all supposed to be at this point. It was supposed to be
fun
and different, and the game was supposed to be changed in that way. And then things got off track for reasons that certain people just didn't care about. one of those people happens to be the controlling owner of the team who had something else he wanted to do, and he did it. Mm. And that's where we are, where to marry this with what you said about here you are front and center, and maybe it's because the Cubs are bad and the Bears are in the wilderness and the Blackhawks are barely – I can't even think about them. And the Bulls won't be playing for a bit. It's draft week. It is draft week. We'll give them its due. But you've got it. And it was just supposed to feel different. And there was a time where they thought there was going to be a cultural inflection point, a cultural change to this team, a different energy to this team, the whole thing. And I keep thinking about what could have been, what should have been. Even if, you know, they could go on a 12-game win streak and flip this thing around and grab the division, and we're all talking World Series possibilities. It can happen. But, man, the self-imposed headwinds here are just too bad.
Very much so. What I think is interesting, Dan, is there were a couple of flashpoint moments, but the one that I think about a lot is the Tim Anderson bat flip moment. And then the response from the Royals and the way that they reacted. And White Sox fans who have maybe been a little bit baseball policey were kind of like, you know, this is BS. There was very much a Tim's our guy type movement. That
we saw
ended
it in
up,
the Yankees series this year even.
That ended up happening with White Sox fans. And I think a bunch of White Sox fans were like, even if they weren't on board, they got on board. They got on board with "Hi, Mom" and shirts being buttoned down to the third, unbuttoned down to the third button, and changed the game. The fan base itself had gone through a metamorphosis of being like, oh, we're this team now. We're Padres East. We get to be the fun, really good, dynamic team.
Young.
The difference-making team. We get to be that. Then they hire Tony La Russa. And that, it took a lot away from that part of it. To La Russa's credit, those guys seem to swear by him. I asked Tim about it a couple weeks ago. And he said that people thought that they weren't going to get along. Where he's found detente with him is through both of them being very competitive. Jose Abreu will tell anyone who asks him about Tony La Russa how much he cares. So maybe they don't know that their culture has changed and it hasn't affected them. Maybe we're overselling the idea of White Sox as culture weather vane, you know? But I will tell you that all of it has felt different since that moment. Then you start getting into the strategic aspect of it. You look at La Russa as an actual game manager, and you go, some of that stuff was to be expected early on.
Well, that's why the Yermín Mercedes issue was something where that's a hold on. Come on. And even if he's learned from it and he's growing from it, the essence of that is one of those that you don't get back. When he's apologizing to the opponent.
The weird ass twins.
Apologizing to the opponent. I'm not over that. And I don't know if an organization, if that kind of clubhouse gets over that, even if he's kind of finally grudgingly somehow learned or remembered to remember that isn't something you do. But that's like that to me was cynical to everything this was all purported to be.
The human element of it to me is interesting, and we'll never get a real answer of it in my mind, because, you know, I sometimes see things through the world of like superheroes and stuff. In that moment, I felt like Tim Anderson was being Mr. Fantastic, like holding everything together. Like being stretched really thin to be like, no, you're good. Don't worry about it. We got your back. We got you. And Lucas like trying to help him out in that regard of like holding it all together. Don't worry about what was said. Don't worry about the twins. We still up. Big Daddy, go out there and be you and all of this stuff. And I wonder what's the toll on that for the individuals.
There's an expenditure of capital.
And of energy. Of actual energy. And I love it. To me, it shows leadership, okay? Whatever that's worth. It shows leadership that Tim was out on social and talking about Dermeen.
That's great, but if you're trying to win a title, your leaders shouldn't be busy expending energy and social media capital, whatever it is, holding everything together. That energy should be around the edges. That energy should be on the little things at that point because everything else is so rock solid.
The point that you brought up, and it sticks with me, and I think it sticks with a lot of White Sox fans. It's not just the losing. Like, the losing is a significant part of it, and I don't want to just brush it aside. This was also supposed to be more fun. The White Sox, as organization, were supposed to arrive now. And I'm talking about them being centered in sports conversation in Chicago. They were getting to the place where they were centered in baseball. In the conversation.
Not to mention, you've got the hottest young play-by-play guy in the country.
Yep.
Happens to be your play-by-play guy. Their game production is just gangbusters.
You have one of the best play-by-play people in the world. You have the best baseball analyst.
Yes.
In the world.
Yeah, and
even he, even Stoney, was starting to come along for the ride. That we were seeing a change in him because of the dynamic between him and Benetti. And you're seeing that movement, that gravitational pull. Yep. Of, oh, well, all I have to do is explain to Steve why this particular statistic is exactly what he's been talking about. And now we have someone who adopts those things and can give context to the statistics instead of just brushing it off. And just being like, those things don't matter. All of that was trending in the direction of the White Sox are the coolest team in baseball. And then they stopped being cool. And then they stopped winning.
Well, that's why the redemptive value of winning, and as a texter brings up, the 708 says, it's never fun when you're losing. Winning is the best cure. Fung is winning, and winning is fung, as Ozzy once said famously. Yes and no, because that speaks to what you're saying about winning feeling like relief. It's not supposed to feel that way. Winning isn't supposed to feel like, well, at least they didn't lose. Well, maybe things are getting better. Like, when you're talking about that kind of winning, for this team, for the winning to be fun again, they better do a lot damn more of it. It's got to be a lot more frequent starting right now. They've got to start winning a lot more. Look at the numbers. Look at the math of where they've got to go from there. They're under 500 with 95 games left. They've got to go on a tear. It isn't just win one, lose one, win. They've got to flip this thing.
That's what I meant by the vacuum, Dan, where the White Sox look at it and go, oh, well, we just need to do blank, 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 and blank. And I don't want to say, it would be unfair to say that they didn't take into account Minnesota and Cleveland, but it kind of feels like they're just waiting until they're whole. And Rick talked about it before the Dodgers series, that we're going to be whole. And I don't know that any team can say that this year with the way that spring training goes, and particularly with the White Sox, like them getting back to whole. I'm not sure that you can even think that. And as soon as he said it, like, it caught my ear when they were getting ready for that Dodgers series, and he said it. And then almost immediately, Bummer's on the IL, Grandal's on the IL, Kopech has the thing with his knee. It just feels like it's not in the cards for all of that to happen, which is why people wanted that roster to be better built for the big picture of them winning a World Series. And yes, the spending of money, because you were finally in the place of spending the money that you had designated 2022 as a year where you felt like you'd be competing for a World Series. So why didn't you spend the money? And when I see Michael Brantley, every time I see Michael Brantley, I go, you chose Adam Eaton over that.
And Nomar Mazara.
Where if you add that money up, it's probably Michael Brantley. And it would have solved a lot of your problems.
That's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein. This is the Bernstein and Holmes Show, middays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There are some people that were really disappointed when I started the show by saying we're not doing the midday midway anymore. In about a couple of minutes, you're not going to be mad at me anymore. You are not going to be. And all the people on text, what do you mean you're not doing the midday midway? Just give it a couple minutes. Do you trust me? Ask yourself this. Do you trust us on this one?
No.
Okay. Just trust us.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
This will be the time when we get you updated with what we've been talking on this show. We started out by welcoming you to Everything Old is New Again. Bernstein and Holmes, middays on the Score, 10 to 2. Ian Happ joined us to talk some Cubs. We heard from Jed Hoyer, who was on with Mullie and Haw. Talked a lot of White Sox, some big picture Cubs, some big picture Sox, as we're getting set for this is a critical stretch for the Sox. They're all critical right now, but this particular matchup as the Twins and the upstart Guardians are playing each other. You can't be losing games now when one of your rivals is going to be winning them. What else did we discuss?
We talked about the White Sox. We talked about the Cubs and trust issues with Jed Hoyer. We were goofy and weird and all sorts of other stuff. It's you don't like it? You could say you don't like it.
No, that's good. I know there's a lot here. They're throwing a lot at us.
All right, because we're trying to figure out how to change
I'm not judging yet. Truth be told, I didn't feel comfortable with the gunshot anymore as the punctuator.
Yeah, I like that idea too. We just got to find the right piece of sound, and Rankin's got like 100 pieces of sound, including one for my story. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Vince McMahon, who was in charge of the WWE, has stepped down as the face and CEO among misconduct claims. Some that have him paying for a lot of sex and finding jobs for people and spending company money on people that he was having sex with. At 76 years old, the genetic jackhammer took to the stage on, that's what he calls himself, Tan, took to the stage on SmackDown. And like, this was supposed to be like a big thing. It was like, oh my God, Vince McMahon is going to speak to these charges publicly. And then he gave us this.
I'm here simply to remind you of the four words we just saw and what we call the WWE signature. Those four words are then, now, forever, and the most important word is together. Welcome to SmackDown.
And then he walked off.
I don't get it.
Exactly. You're not. It was an amazing piece of tease from WWE. Vince McMahon's going to speak at the opening of SmackDown tonight. Is he going to speak about the stuff that has him stepping down as CEO? No, he's just going to say we're all in this together. Gross.
Well, I'm sure he's being advised by a highly paid crisis PR firm.
Yeah.
Who has instructed him or helped arrange this one way or the other. And my first thought is that tells me it's bad.
It's real, real bad. I like that one.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.